everyone, welcome to the Simple Politics podcast. I'm your host, Charlotte, and you'll never believe that I have both Diane and Tatton with me today. Hello, both. How are you? I never know what to say there. How to introduce you.
It's absolutely fine. I mean, it would be, I think it would not be strange if one of us wasn't here, you know?
It would be.
Yeah, quite regular.
That would be quite the curveball, wouldn't it?
It would. Yeah. One of these weeks, you never know.
You never know. Snap.
You know, sorry, hi everyone. Listen, I'm just a bit fed up at the moment. And we're talking about when we're not here and it's like, are we going to be here forever? Running a podcast in 2024 is hard, bloody work. And it feels like it's getting harder. Like, we are officially something like the 263rd biggest politics podcast. Not any podcast, politics podcast. It's jammed full, and the podcast you listen to, the podcast most people listen to, are all on BBC Sounds, or they feature big celebrities, or they have massive backers, like big media companies backing them, or all three, or whatever. And we work damn hard on this. I know it sounds like we don't. Like, I know that. But we work damn hard on this, and we want it to be a thing. Like, not, you know, chart topping or whatever, but we need it to be a thing. And we've got nothing, lovely listener, except for you. It's up to you. If you listen, then that's great, and we love that. If you message us, gosh, that means the world. But you can really help secure the future of the Simple Politics podcast by joining the Patreon. And this is cheesy, and everyone talks about Patreon all the time on all their podcasts, but it matters. It matters as emotional support. It matters because we know you care. And it also matters because it's money and it matters. I'm a bit emotional, so I'm going to hand over to Dan Charlotte to talk you through like all the good stuff you can get. I'd like, just please do think about how much your support would mean to us.
Okay. So.
No, there's new to go.
No, Tatton, absolutely. If you can spare a little bit a month, you can head over to patreon.com/simplepolitics, and it's all laid out for you there, what your options are. But the very first one, if it's £3 a month, which is a coffee really, that's, you know, about the same price, you get the podcast ad-free, which is much less annoying. And you get it a day early. That's amazing for just £3 a month.
Yeah, and you can get more and more as you go up the tiers, yes. So there's, for £5 a month, you get all that. Plus you get to see a video of us, unedited, so all the bloopers and the funny bits as well. And then you go £10 and we'll give you a shout out. You get 10% off in the shop. You can go £25 if you want to be really generous. And then you get exclusive merch that no one else, even we don't have that merch.
No, we don't.
That exclusive. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, listen, so genuinely, I think it's nice. Like, if you enjoy the podcast, it's quite fun to see us doing it. Mm. And I do a lot more swearing that gets cut out. So if watching me swear is something that excites you, and I don't know why it would, but if it is, please give it a go. If you love what we do. We do so much stuff for free. But in life, if you want some, like when your local cinema closes and you're sad about it,
yeah,
but you didn't go, it's closed because you didn't go. Sentimentality only gets you so far. Gosh, right, I'm going to cheer up. Watch this, cheering up, Tatton, cheering up, go.
Right, okay. Your face didn't change, and people who our Patreon backers would have been able to see his face change if it had changed. Anyway, let's move on to the top posts of the week. This is where we look at our most popular posts this week on the Instagram. So Tatton, what was our third most popular post of the week?
Well, when this was being put together yesterday, the Liberal Democrats were in third place. And I said to Diane, hang on, the Liberal Democrats have made it to our top three posts. And then a post happened yesterday that knocked it out of the top three. But it was a nonsense post. So we've kept the Liberal Democrats in at three. We're still saying in at three, the Liberal Democrats. They had their spring conference in York and they laid out some policies. Ed Davey spoke for an hour. And he said that first past the post has to go. And he, of course, he doesn't like first past the post because the Liberal Democrats lose out to first past the post. He wants to cap donations to political parties, which is something that he wants because they don't get many donations. They want cross-party talks on fixing social care, which is something he wants because it has to be cross-party for the Liberal Democrats to be involved. He wants, you know, renewable power and home insulation because climate crisis, and he wants to fix our broken relationship with Europe. And this is where they got all tied up over the weekend. Do you want to rejoin the EU? No, we want to kind of join the single market. Everyone who's not a member of the EU and is in the single market hates it because they just have to accept rules they're not part of making. Well, we do things differently. All of this, all the Brexit chat you'd expect. The problem they've got is that they ain't going to be in power. They're going to have maybe 20 MPs. They can promise whatever they want to promise, but they won't have to deliver it. And that's a problem that all kinds of smaller parties have. You know, there's no chance of it being very little chance of it being a hung parliament this time round. So he can promise what he wants. The promises are more an extension of their values.
Yes.
What values would a Liberal Democrat MP in your constituency have when they go to Parliament? What values are they going to stand up and defend?
Mm.
So I was pleased to see the Liberal Democrats come in third, even if it was fourth in the end, because it's nice to talk about real policy and have real parties standing up and banging their drum.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I think people really, the fact that this post did as well as it did, even though it's a Lib Dem post, it's because people just wanted to see actual stuff on paper of what you believe in. And people love that. And you're right, Hatton, that they won't be in power. They won't be able to push this stuff through, maybe. But maybe if they've got some really popular or standout ideas, it's not beyond the realms. The Tories have stolen ideas from around the place recently. You know, Labour do it too. Everyone does it. So that
Labour are still making their manifesto, aren't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, yeah. So,
but I think this is why Liberal Democrats tend to do better at local council level because they can actually promise things, and if they get elected in, they can deliver those Liberal Democrat values. They can deliver those Liberal Democrat kind of policies, and that really works. And then they obviously struggle with the first past the post system, which they don't like because it means they can't. But I think, Diane, you're 100% right. People love policies, and that's what always been the basis of what SP does, is tell you what people want and how they're going to get it, and what the other arguments are. And people are. It's election year, but now we're talking about November or October, and that's a really long way away. So we're on this chicken feed of kind of this thin gruel of policies when people want their main course. They want their nut roast and carrots ready to go.
And the second that general election is called, boy, are we going to be feasting on policies. Diane. Oh,
that nut roast is gonna get it.
Oh, yeah. Nut roast, well, delicious.
Yes, go for it, please. Let me continue the metaphor. In at two, don't put the oven on just yet because you won't be having nut roast on the 2nd of May. If you don't know what I'm talking about.
So proud.
If you think that I've completely lost my mind yet, no, I haven't.
It's
because Rishi Sunak said on Sky News, well, confirmed, because there was so
ITV News.
So much speculation building, wasn't there, that 2nd of May could be a general election date. The reason is, because it's a local election day. There's huge logistics involved in setting up polling stations, so why not do a two-for-one, was the thought in some camps. But it's not going to happen, because he has now said it will not be that date. So it's a little tiny bit of good news for us, because we kind of want to get all our ducks in a row to do it and bring you the best coverage, but a little tiny bit of deflation, because it's exciting and we want it to happen as soon as possible. So we just got to sit this one out. A lot of people are reading everything into the most minute stuff people say at the minute. So Jeremy Hunt said something about October this week, and oh my God, everyone was like, it's going to be October. Quick, quick, quick.
He just said the word October, didn't he? Like, he just mentioned a month and it was like, news alert.
So everything, massive pinches of salt. We're looking at back end of the year, really.
Yeah, I mean, October or November, I mean, I would put 90% of my money on October or November.
Yeah.
It's not going to be, it can't be December, it can't be January. And it could possibly, because the Prime Minister has to announce the general election. Generally speaking, the Prime Minister announces the general election while Parliament is sitting. Mm. And the reason that happens is because they need to tie up everything that's, or tie up the loose ends. So they have like 2 days of Parliament, yeah, where they rip through everything and get bills done. And, you know, like, it's all quite frantic. So he can't, it's very unusual, I don't think ever, in the middle of August, say, right, we're going to do it in September. Mm. So they've got until late July when MPs are sitting, and he could stand up then and say an August election. But like, then what, he wants to make everyone cancel their holidays, yeah, and stuff. Like, that's that doesn't seem right. So if he waits until Parliament returns in September, that would then be in October. So we're already in October if he doesn't do it before recess. So he's in October, it's either October or November. I mean, that's all it can be, really, now.
Mm. Now that Tatton said that, he's going to announce it as soon as we finish recording this podcast. Just, that's our luck.
Let me just check my news alerts. No, not yet.
Tatton, what was our most popular post of the week?
The most popular post, I don't really want to talk about much. Some horrid man has been the first to be convicted under new cyber flashing offence. So the Online Harm Act said, Online Safety Act, excuse me, said, made it an explicit act to send explicit photos unsolicited to somebody else. So it's, I mean, let's face it, it's 99% men sending dick pics to people who don't want that. It does happen with other genders and other kinds of things, but that's generally what it is, the vast majority. And this guy was on the sex offenders register already, and they use this specific act to put him away in prison for 66 weeks. And I think The other thing I want to say about it is that the conviction happened because one of the victims took a screenshot of the photo and took it to the police. And once they'd done that, like, this is the 9th of February, right? So they did it in like a month. Bang, 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 bang. And I think that if you are a victim of these things, and a lot of people listening to this will have been a victim of these things, because these things happen all the time. Screenshot police. However much you just want to delete the whole thing, screenshot police. And it works. And I guess it's a good news story. I mean, it's a crime being committed against a child and an adult. So it's hard to call it a good news story, but it's nice to see the new offence working, and especially a really clear message, screenshot police.
Yeah.
Let's move on to our favourite part of the podcast. It's the mailbag. So, what have we got from you this week? We have Carol, who has asked, is it possible to have a Prime Minister that isn't Labour or Conservative?
Carol, that's an easy answer. Yes, anything's possible. The reality is no. We have effectively, what's confusing about our parliament and our constitution is that we effectively have a two-party system where either Labour or all the Conservatives will, always, possibly, not always, who knows what the future holds, but will be the biggest party, right? So even if it's a coalition, even if you need to scoop up some other party votes, the PM's always going to come from the biggest party. I mean, the Conservatives have been the first or second biggest party for like 300 years. And then Labour, when Labour formed in the early 20th century, they rapidly became the second party. And they took on some of the Whigs anyway, who had historically been the second party. So it is possible. Any party that has the most MPs in the House of Commons, their leader will be the Prime Minister. It is possible. It's not possible for the SNP because they don't stand anywhere else but Scotland. Yeah. So they can only have 55 MPs or whatever it is, maximum. But the Liberal Democrats could grow. The Green, in face of the climate emergency, the Greens could grow. You know, reform, if immigration continues to be a thing, you could see a reform Prime Minister, in theory. Not going to happen. So pretty much stuck between Labour and Conservative.
Nice easy one there. Okay, Will asks, the council tax in Birmingham is set to rise drastically due to the fact the council has declared bankruptcy. However, could you please help me understand why the heads of the council get paid three times more than the Prime Minister and the leaders of the council still have their jobs and haven't been held accountable?
Ooh, that is a tough one, isn't it?
I think that One of the reasons Birmingham is in trouble is because they had to settle a lawsuit again because they hadn't been paying equal pay.
Yeah.
And they had to pay a massive bill. Now, the council leaders had nothing to do with the time for which that bill was paid. So I don't think they should be fired necessarily because of mistakes of their predecessors. You've also got the idea that they've been elected, so no one can fire them except for the electorate at the next council election. It's like an MP that's done something that people don't like. They stay an MP. They can be kicked out of their party. They can do whatever, but they stay an MP until the electorate boot them out. So it is complicated. You can't always point at the leader and say, you're fired. I am unaware that the council leaders get paid three times more than the Prime Minister. MPs get a flat rate pay of, I think, 85, 90 grand a year, roughly. And the Prime Minister gets on top of that about 100 grand, I think. I'm not sure about the Prime Ministerial premium, but maybe 80, 90, 100, that kind of thing. So that would put the Prime Minister on 180, let's say, grand a year. Do the heads of Birmingham Council get paid £600,000 a year? It seems unlikely. I don't know how that particular council works out the amount people are paid. I don't believe they're paid three times more than the Prime Minister.
I can confirm that the maximum that the Chief Executive of Birmingham City Council would be paid as of 2022, which is the most recent I can find, is £285,114.
Okay.
And the minimum is £190,000. So probably a bit more than the Prime Minister, but not three times more.
Yeah, certainly a good salary, a good big salary for
leading. And that's the chief executive. That's not someone who's elected. So you'd expect a kind of chief executive of a major, because it's also the biggest council in Europe. You've got to remember that. So it is a massive job to take on.
If you want to get, what the city always argue about massive pay is that if you want the best people, you've got to pay them to come. And you do want the best people to work in Birmingham.
Yeah.
I think there's a really frustrating thing about councils at the minute around the country, not just Birmingham, Nottingham, various other councils who have been in this real financial dire straits. And as a result, it's the residents in those areas who are feeling the strain, especially come April when council tax kicks back in, because we've had a couple of months off, you start paying again from April and it's all gone up. Like we've gone up here in Devon and we're not in financial mismanagement, but I, you know, can imagine in the areas that I've had to ramp up even more to try and combat some of this, you know, financial trouble. It is ordinary people footing the bill, and that's, you know, devastating for some families. Mm. But I've heard it said that from councils that, and maybe this is wrong, and maybe this is naive of me to even say it, but some councils have said that the reason they've got into this situation, it's not just a lack of funding. So maybe there has been slight lack of funding because they'll get some central government funding. 50%
real terms cut since 2010. So it's quite a significant cut.
It's quite significant. And then what some of them have tried to do to plug the gaps is get involved in financial schemes that have not come to any kind of fruition. They've been really shady and have actually lost them tons of money. But they did it to try and plug a gap. So can you blame them for that? It's hard, but I understand it feels hard for people when that bill hits, when it lands through your letterbox and you go, what have they been doing? Yeah. You know?
Yeah. And Birmingham will go, I think, by 21%, which is a particularly high. Mm. It's normally it's capped at 4.9% is the maximum.
Yeah. I mean, that's it. It's normally 5%, but this is, the trouble with councils is that no one cares about their councils until things go wrong. So council elections get 40% turnout. The government, central government, never likes standing up in the Commons and saying, we're raising money for councils, because it's that, bore off. Mm. The word is synonymous with kind of bureaucracy and grey people in suits and all of that. And it's been getting harder and harder and harder for them. And we still don't turn out to vote. And we still don't know the names of our councillors. I think it's just the way local government is run just needs completely rehauling. Because the things that matter most, playgrounds and bins and potholes and, you know, like the things that matter to day-to-day life are all a lot council tax or council funded. And your council tax doesn't all go to the council. All the council tax goes into the central government pot. And I mean, it's a mess and no one understands how councils work. You know, like, well, you've put three times more than the prime minister. Like, no one knows how the council works. And when things go wrong, it really affects everyone. And that continues this idea that councillors are bad people in some way, that councillors are nefarious in some way, or they're incompetent. I mean, I do know the names of my local councillors. I mean, one's a really close friend of mine, and oh my God, do they work hard?
It's not even a full-time job, is it?
It's supposed to be a part-time job. You have a tiny bit of money for a few hours, but they make it a full-time job because they care and they're interested and they are doing their best.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hope we find a way out of this mess, because it is a mess, and it's more of a mess than people realize, and people don't want to talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Holly asks, do we know anything more about the food ordering issues and cyber issues that have happened this week? Holly heard it was a third-party provider and she's very confused. So we've had Greggs, we've had Sainsbury's. What else we had this week?
Tesco. McDonald's.
Oh, yeah. I've been paying attention very closely to these food things, as you can tell. Do we know anything more?
They all seem to be apparently completely separate. Like, it was Greg's yesterday or Wednesday. We're recording on Thursday. So, and if you join the Patreon, then you can hear it today on Thursday. So yesterday was Greg's, and they said they just did an update. We've all done updates on our computers, and then the computer's like, nope, not working now. So that feels believable. Tesco and Sainsbury say it was a different issue, and it was on their online delivery thing. McDonald's was about ordering food via their tappy tap screen. I mean, they are different. And what I said in the post yesterday is that, right, statistics, things do not fall evenly, right? The chances of, like, if you've got 12 people in a room, yeah, the chances that you've got a birthday in January and February and March and April and May and June, July, August, September, October, November, December are zero. I mean, they're really low because things naturally clump. We expect this kind of conformity between different things. So we've had 5 major outages and we hadn't had any for months. That's not statistically remarkable, because that, it doesn't mean that, you know, Chinese or Russian ninjas are sat in a computer somewhere going, ha ha ha, no Big Macs for you. It doesn't necessarily mean that. They've all said it's different. Now, is there a chance that we don't know everything? I guess. But, meh.
Mm-hmm. Keep a 10-point note in your glove box, just in case, is what I would say.
And a medium fries.
And some medium fries. There you go.
Ready to be pulled out.
Excellent advice from Diane there. This is why you need Diane and your apocalypse group.
Yes, exactly.
Right, let's move on to PM Watch. So, has it been, what kind of week has it been for Rishi Sunak this week? Diane?
I'm going to say that Rishi Sunak comparatively has had a good week this week, really good week. He will be signing off on Friday, clocking out of 10 Downing Street, because I'm sure that's what he does with a little card, punches his card and goes off. He will be having a smile on his face as he heads home. And I'll tell you why. Last week was horrendous. Last week we talked about awful comments, political donations, handing back money. We talked about Lee Anderson. So he's put that behind him, okay? That is the past. And this week he has been able to go tick on a few big things. First of all, flagship thing of Rishi Sunak's was the generational smoking bill, okay? So this is something he really believes in. He said it's the biggest health problem that's entirely preventable. And he is the one, and it's going to be his legacy to have done something about it and brought forward this bill so that it will become impossible if you're 14 to ever buy cigarettes legally. And that's, you know, that is not nothing. That is something. And it was presented into Parliament, introduced into Parliament. I said presented, introduced to Parliament this week, which means it's going forward and it's happening. It's not just talking about it. And the second reason, I'll give 2 reasons, inflation. Hey, that was good news, right? Inflation's down to 3.4%. Again, that was one of Rishi's big things, one of his 5 priorities. He wanted to halve inflation. Well, he's done more than that. He's overachieved on that. You know, when he said that, it was about 11%. We're down to 3.4%. And the Bank of England and all the expert city guys say 2% would be like absolute optimum, you know, for where we want to get to. And that could happen by the end of this year as we head into an election. So if I was Rishi, I'd be, you know, yeah, definitely putting my feet up Friday night.
Oh, Diane.
Yes, Tatton.
What a lot of nonsense you talk sometimes.
Touché.
Okay, right. We need to crack on for time. So let's talk about smoking. The smoking bill's been introduced. In New Zealand, the smoking bill was introduced and it passed. And then it was repealed because they didn't like it. the smoking bill, it might be some kind of legacy, but it's young people don't smoke. People are 15 now. When the bill goes through, people are 15 now will never legally be allowed to buy a cigarette. So that's fine, because if you look at people who are 16, 17, 18, none of them smoke. When I was 16, I was in the woods, bottle of vodka, few cigarettes, everything was good, right? That's not how they roll these days. Young people are already not smoking. And the bill also includes some restrictions on vaping, but it's not quite, nothing's going to move the envelope, whatever, on that. Like, it sounds like a big legacy bill, but it'll turn out to be a nothingy bill if it isn't repealed later on. Like, it's not the statement. And you know it's not the statement that he wants it to be, because when it was introduced to Parliament, it didn't make the news. Right? We wrote a post and didn't end up publishing it. No one cared. It's not a vote winner. It's not a legacy. Diane, what's that?
That's because Greg's happened. We would have posted.
We know what SP is like.
If your entire legacy can be overrun by Greg's, you're in real trouble. Right. And then inflation. The thing about inflation is you take credit, you blame other factors when it goes up, and you take credit when it comes down. Everyone sees through it. They will talk about how their plan is working and we have to stick with them till the cows come home. But when we feel richer and we see stronger funding public services, that's when it'll make a difference. Him standing in front of a 3.4 banner and saying our plan is working doesn't win votes. So the smoking one doesn't win votes. In fact, the votes people are talking about are the votes that are going to get him out of number 10, because the Conservative Party are going to replace him with Penny Mordaunt, not Kemi Badenoch anymore, not Suella Braverman anymore, but Penny Mordaunt, although she said, oh, she's not going to have a mutiny, just like Kemi Badenoch has also said there's not going to be a mutiny. It looks like he might be safe for now, which could be a good weak thing, but May the 2nd... is going to be not a good day for the Conservative Party. And the Conservative MPs are going to look around at that point and say, do we want this guy to lead us into the general election? We've got to roll the dice, because right now we've got nothing. And then finally we've got Rwanda, his other legacy. The Lords are digging in. It's not going anywhere. Flights won't take off this spring, like he said they would. He said flights will take off in the spring, and they won't take off in the spring. Will they take off before the general election? Probably. What, with 30 people? It's not a vote winner. Rwanda is becoming... people who support Rwanda are becoming sick and tired of Rwanda already. So all the things that might be okay are not vote winners. They might be vote losers. He might not last. It's been a terrible week. Diane, I can't believe you said it was going to be a good week.
Comparatively.
Well, we'll let the listeners decide whose side they're on there.
Yeah. Yes. We know, listeners. We know.
But before we go, that's what's been going on this week. What is in your crystal ball for next week, Tatton?
It's the last week of Parliament before Easter recess. They like to stop Parliament on a Tuesday so that they don't have to do PMQs on a Wednesday. So it's a two-day week for them. Obviously, they'll go to their constituencies and work very, very hard for their constituents after that. But Parliament is not done. Tuesday, 1 p.m. the Liaison Committee. Now, you might think, what the fuck is that? And that would be okay. What the Liaison Committee is all of the most senior backbench MPs in a room for 2 hours, 90 minutes, 2 hours, questioning the Prime Minister. And crucially, they get to ask more questions. Each one gets like 3 or 4 minutes with the Prime Minister to come back on things. And they really need to explain what's going on. The liaison committee happens 2 or 3 times a year. It's the highlight of my year. I bloody love it. Set your clocks. It says set your sky planners here because I think Diane's living in 2006. Join us, join me, just DM me while it's on and we'll hang out, we'll chat. It's just, don't miss it. It's wonderful. Tuesday, 1 p.m.
Diane, what's in your crystal ball?
Oh my God. I mean, we're headed into Easter recess, so I genuinely will be all just chocolate and hot cross buns next week. I'm already loving all the new stories about Easter eggs, which are coming because it gets a bit silly around this any time of holidays, doesn't it? It gets a bit silly in the news. There is something today comparing how big the eggs, well, in fact, how small the eggs have got.
How small the eggs are.
Yeah. So
how big the prices are or how small the eggs are. Like, because they've got to do one or the other, right? If it's really expensive.
Yeah, exactly. So expect lots more of that nonsense next week.
Can't wait.
I think also the liaison. I tell you what, you could have chocolate while watching the liaison committee, presumably on your VHS, Diane, that you've used to record it.
Yeah.
You could have chocolate and liaison committee, but you don't have to have chocolate and liaison committee. The only thing you have to do is the liaison committee.
Chocolate, that would be a dream. Chocolate and liaison committee. If only I could join you. Right.
I'm doing a school run, so I can't have gin on the liaison committee, which would be the dream team.
Please drink and eat chocolate responsibly. Anyway, that's all we have time for. Thank you very much for listening, and thank you very much, Tatton and Diane.
Thank you, Charlotte.
Thank you very much. Bye, team.
Bye.
You just heard a Stripped Media production.